You're listening to Rosie on the House.
Coming around back here, I see Mr. John Eisenhower, ISA certified arborist, coming down out of the tree this morning, up there cleaning and pruning, getting past a big frost, doing a little bit of thinning. If you've got a question or want to talk trees, it's 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Text questions can be sent to 411-923. You can send an email to info@rosieonthehouse.com if you need to snap a picture and send it along. Maybe you need a little, you're curious about a plant or a bush that you see, or you're looking for a little insect identification on something crawling all around. Whatever your tree situation may be, you can send that picture to info@rosieonthehouse.com. Good morning, Mr. Eisenhower.
Good morning. How are you?
Very good. You have a tree for us today?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I got lots of trees, but the one we're focusing on this month is the desert orchid tree. And, you know, there's a lot of orchids around. There's some Hong Kong orchids, which are a large flowering orchid tree, which is really desirable. But they're a little leggy sometimes, and the bloom is sometimes not worth the cleanup mess of the litter that drops for several weeks and months after they've bloomed. But this desert orchid is quite nice because it's native to Texas, and it does really well in Arizona climate, in the low desert particularly. And it's a smaller bloom, a little more delicate bloom, and there's different varieties from white to light pink all the way to a purple color. And depending on the nursery where you might buy a tree, they've got quite a wide variety of those of colors. But they're beautiful. They don't grow too big. They're considered more of a garden size tree. Maybe if you want something to fill a space 10 to 15 feet in height, they can get a little taller than that, but that's generally the average size of these smaller trees, and they are just a nice, easily adapted tree. They won't be sending roots out and underneath your pavers and your bedding material and into those, starting to cause disruption to the hardscape. So for many reasons, they're just a nice small tree. We're always looking for those little smaller trees that can replace the larger trees that might have had to be removed because they just outgrew that landscape location. So awesome little tree. It's blooming right now in a lot of places around town. They can, at certain elevations, they can actually bloom a little bit earlier, even into late winter. But if you see a beautiful, smaller, white to pink to purple flowering tree right now, very likely could be a desert orchid. They're called orchids. They're not true orchids. They just, the blooms kind of resemble an orchid shape, and they're just awesome little trees.
Close enough for the desert.
Yeah. Speaking of blooming, lots of trees popping out this week. We were on a lot of customers' properties this week, looking at the bud development. People ask me sometimes, "Hey, why is one of my trees budding out and the other one's not budding out?" And they're the same trees planted at the same time, and quite often trees just have different levels of energy reserves. One of them might have a little favorable rooting space. It might have had a little bit more water. It might just have a little bit more energy going into this spring push. So you'll see that in yards. There's just little differences in the locations of the trees. And I've got one customer with five elm trees, and she watches them closely. And she's actually named these trees after family members according to their characteristics. You know, if they bloom early, they're a very active person in her family. And if they bloom a little bit later, they're a little bit slower if they're in their demeanor. And she's got some names for them according to when they pop out their new leaves every spring. It was kind of cute listen to her describe her little group of five elm trees. But that's kind of, she's got to know their personalities because each year sure enough, two of them bloom, you know, push their leaves out sooner. The other ones are a little bit further along, you know, but they eventually all get nice and green and full by the middle of summer. So yeah, a lot of awesome trees. You know, they're pushing their blooms out. I noticed my apricot trees in full bloom this morning. You know, a lot of these flowering stone fruit trees like peaches and plums and apricots, they will actually push their bloom out before they push their leaves out. And it stands to reason, if you think about this, that leaf production is a big energy drain on the plant. It requires a certain amount of energy reserves to be able to create those leaves. Well, the reproductive capacity of a plant is dependent on its survival as a species. So it puts its first initial spring flush into that blossom development to assure that there's going to be fruit development. And as soon as those blossoms have been pollinated and the fruit is set, they'll drop those blossoms and then put on a nice foliage cover, which then is the food source, you know, through photosynthesis to keep that tree nice and healthy and to help that fruit develop. But that it's really beautiful to see those evergreen pears. Any listeners who have an evergreen pear know the beauty of that first push of blossom this time of year. In fact, they're one of the very first blossoming trees around town. If you're driving around this time of year and you see these beautiful displays of white blooms on a tree with no leaves on it, it's all flowers, just like my apricot tree this morning, all flowers, no leaves. It's generally a evergreen pear. They're one of the first signs that spring has sprung. And, yeah, it's really beautiful this time of year to see that.
On some of our talking tree to-dos this month for our tree calendar, would you say we're past that frost point? We can start trimming out some dead wood?
Yeah, perfect time if you have your frost damage. You know, again, I always tell listeners to be sure you look at the weather forecast before you start cutting back frost damage. If there's a forecasted late freeze, which can often happen, we've had freezes as late as April, so always be looking at that 10-day forecast. But if there's no late frost due, usually by March 1st, you're safe to begin cutting back all the frost damage on your lantanas, on your bougainvillea. And we've been doing quite a bit of that the last couple weeks, starting to get ahead of that new growth. It's nice to get all the dead material off the plants so that when the new spring push of growth comes on, it's not getting all intermingled with that frost damage. Because if you come back and you start cutting out frost damage on your citrus and some other things after that new spring push of growth, that juvenile growth on your citrus trees, for instance, is so tender that you'll likely end up damaging it as you're trying to get the dead wood out. So good time to get in there with any of the frost damage. Get it out now, and that new growth will be able to come onto the plant without without interference from the dead wood. The other thing is, too, is questions come up, you know, how do I know how far to cut back my frost-damaged plants? Well, the rule of thumb is just to cut back until you get to good green wood. And you can usually tell if you've got a pair of hand pruners in your hands or loppers and you're cutting just till you see a nice clean cut and you can see the green wood right at the point of that pruning cut. But sometimes you can also take your thumbnail and scratch the bark or a pocket knife and you can work your way from the frost-damaged end of the branch back to the green wood. And when you start to get to, if you see it's brown or black underneath the bark, that's dead tissue. Just keep on working your way back until you get to green wood and then make your cuts there.
Well, let's get to Chuck, who's called in, get started with our callers at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE4U. Welcome, Chuck.
Good morning. Good morning. Hey, I just planted a Hong Kong orchid tree, and it stands probably about 8 foot tall, but the branches on it seem to be, drooping down. Should those be trimmed back a bit, or will they come up, or is that just the nature of the tree?
Yeah, it's probably more the natural growth pattern of that orchid to have a little bit leggy growth in the early stages. And even as it gets older, you'll see that it's sort of a weeping growth habit. The branches want to grow out and tend to droop down, which as the tree gets larger, of course, that becomes part of its floral display is those branches are out. They're kind of draping down and they're holding those flower clusters and really helps to display them. But the Hong Kong orchids are a little bit like that unruly teenager, you know, that little unkept all the time, you know, as it's in that developmental stage, it'll look a little bit leggy and it just doesn't have a lot of nice structure and form in the beginning. I would suggest that if you can avoid trimming anything off of it, though, in the first year or two, you'll be happy because, again, all those branches are producing energy for the tree. They're creating the sugars and starches that the tree needs to do well and to stay healthy. So any kind of leaf surface you leave on is going to be available for photosynthesis and ultimately for the health of the tree. Now, if those branches are really, really leggy and long and you feel that they're at risk of possibly breaking or putting unnecessary pressure on the branch attachment, maybe some light trimming back would be helpful. But just keep in mind that every time you cut off any leaf material from any plant, you're handicapping it and taking away some of its food-producing photosynthetic leaf surface. So just go easy. They say less is more with pruning. Always try to keep as much of that leaf material as you can.